Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
We always hear from a couple of youth and a leader around what we've been doing in the last term so far. We have such an amazing time from movie nights through to the live nights that we have down here and the life groups all around the property. We are so blessed to have 100-plus kids coming or youth coming each Friday night here onto the property to praise one name, and that name is Jesus. So we have a few of our youth coming here to up to the stage to let us know a bit about what they're going on, what journey they're going on with God at the moment. So I know we're going to be blessed hearing what they have to say. So let's give a warm welcome to the first one, Hope, up to the stage as she shares.
If you don't know me, I'm Hope. I'm one of the youth and I help out at kids quite often. So this is my story. Camp to camp, January to January, Brenton to Brenton, song to song, verse to verse. What do these words mean? To you, they're probably just words. Words without much meaning at all. But to me, they mean so much more. They mean completion, completion of a circle that only God could have made. My story starts on Sunday the 22nd of January 2017. It was the last night of youth camp. People were starting to wind down, getting ready to leave the next day. But not me. For me, this night was only the start of what was ahead of me. Brenton Killen was speaking at camp, as he has done for 2 years now. Whatever he spoke about, of course, was amazing, but I can't remember a single word. I promise I was listening, but what stuck with me wasn't what was planned. Instead, it was what was said in quiet after the session. I was talking to Brenton for who knows why, but he told me something that I will probably never forget. He had a vision for me. I was in Golden Fields, laughing and having fun. At the time, I just passed it off, not knowing what it meant. I believed it was for me, but I didn't understand its full meaning and potential. I forgot about it. One other thing stuck with me from camp, a song. This song didn't just stick with me because it was catchy, but it spoke to me in more ways than one. This song, of course, is I Know Who You Are by Planet Shakers. This song is very affirming of God's power and presence, and for some reason made me emotional on every time hearing it. These two things made my camp experience unforgettable and energizing. I may have come off camp on a high, but it didn't last long. I fell quickly and hard. I let the devil get a hold of me, and it was all downhill from there. At first, it was just a whisper telling me that I wasn't good enough, and it could have stopped there. Instead, I let it consume me and control my every thought. I didn't like it, but I didn't know how to get rid of it, let alone live without it. I let the depression and anxiety define who I was, and I believed that without it, I was nothing. I believed my mental health made me who I was. Let me backtrack for a minute. There was one more thing I had going into 2017. The year before, I completed the Philippians course at church with Nick. Now there are only a few things I remember from it. One of them was Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So I went into the year with the promise of the verse, the song, and the vision. Yet I forgot about all three of them. As the year went on, it continued getting worse. But that wasn't what was planned. My first turning point was an encounter night at youth. That night was the first of many to come where breakthrough was made. That night, God helped me recognize and break the walls of my anxiety. That night, I saw for the first time just how amazing my friends and leaders at youth are. That night, I remembered God's promises. And this time, I didn't let myself forget. At that point in time, I hated to admit that I had depression. I didn't even admit it to myself. I knew it was there, but I hid it. I didn't dare acknowledge it. I hid it from my friends, my family, myself, everyone. I even tried hiding it from God, but he knew it was there because he was with me every step of the way. God knew I needed him, so he took every chance I could to remind me of him. Sometimes it was a song, and sometimes it was one of the kids at Raw Energy. Either way, he was reminding me that he hadn't left. About September last year, I stopped lying to myself. I accepted where I was and decided I would finally do something about it. I prayed for freedom and joy, and never again did I forget God's promises. I kept praying all the way up until youth camp this year, when God showed me I already had these things. So youth camp 2018, Brenton was back. There were the same powerful songs and the same powerful verses. This time, one thing was different about them. They no longer reminded me of God's promises, but instead it reminded me of God's power and strength and everything I can do through him. The circle was complete. God may have freed me, but still every day I have to remind myself of this. Because the devil is still after me. He always will be. Thing is, I know this now more than ever. I am stronger and more confident than ever. And most importantly, I know that I am God's child. My favorite part of my story is that through my trials, God not only worked in me, but through me. He knew exactly what was going to happen and made it work for the good of not only me, but everyone I came in contact with. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity to share.
Church. My name's Ish. I've been at Frontline for a couple years now, and I'm part of the Year 12 life groups now, so shout out to them across there. My philosophy in life has always been kill them with kindness. That is until I learned God commanded, thou shall not kill. So nowadays it's fill them with kindness. It sounds a bit nicer. But I feel like everyone has those times where that's just really hard. And we have to find it in ourselves to give that understanding and grace. But I'll get back to that. Since I was tiny, tinier than I am now, I've been surrounded by diversity and strong views. I was born in Sri Lanka. I had 1 month there before travelling to Singapore and a few years there before moving to Australia. And I didn't know God back then, but I did know Buddha, Hindu gods and other entities that as a child, I guess I praised. I knew no different, and the other day I was looking through some of my old diaries and saw the few short sentences I would write about these gods. I love, insert badly written Hindu name, which is horrendously spelled here, but I did know that people gathered and would pray and be happy with one another, and I knew that they would be happy gathering and be happy listening to the words and be happy meeting as a group. And I had participated and been in many different faiths at this point in my life. But I found Christianity when I was around 8, by myself, when I wanted to find my own religion and my own faith. And I was sitting in a church, MCC, in Warrandyte, asking God for a sign. And then the pastor stopped worship and stated to the congregation that someone was looking for a sign. That sold me. It was instant conversion. God had heard me and he had answered crystal clear. And that's what's unique about Christianity, you see. It's that God finds you. God reaches for you, and it isn't do's and don'ts. It's a relationship with him. Deuteronomy chapter 1 has some pretty great stuff about this, but verse 29 in particular, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you. And with this knowledge, I knew in my heart that God created us in his image because we have to act as his limbs on earth sometimes, which brings me back to the kindness thing. Lately, I've had a lot of paragraph texts sent to me from a variety of friends. Loss, love, tragedy, death, you name it, I've read it. And it breaks my heart that during such a busy year, shout out to the Year 12s again, people are struggling to balance their hardships and their work. And it's difficult to sometimes explain to a friend that they're so loved by the one true Heavenly Father when they're struggling, that the heartbreak that they go through, it can be fixed. And it's hard to do this because it feels like I'm intruding with God's love, that I'm trying to convert them. But only recently, I realized that was ridiculous because God commands us that above all to love one another, that no matter the background, no matter the issue, no matter the judgment, if God commands us to show love, why not show his crazy, gut-wrenching, powerful love? You see, Chris Blacker spoke on this a little while ago at church, the necessity and pivotal awe of love we need to demonstrate in our daily lives. And as Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and taught them the greatest commandments in Matthew, love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. It's no coincidence that these are put alongside one another in tangent. And lately, this has been a challenge, and for sure, I'm not a perfect Christian when it comes to this. But who is? We sin daily, hour to hour, but God commands us to never cease prayer, and that includes repentance and forgiving yourself. And when we root ourselves in this, I find myself helping my friends and meeting hate with love so much easier. I recently lost my grandfather, and I was leaning on the Lord. Just 2 and a bit months ago, I went through heartbreak from a long-term relationship, and I was leaning on the Lord. I had some serious issues with my schoolwork because of family issues, and I was leaning on the Lord. You see, that doesn't mean it was easy or cruisy or I didn't feel that pain. But what's the harm in shining his light throughout your life? What bad can it do? What if it's the only light you have at the time? But the funniest part about this whole speech thingy testimony is that I wrote most of this sitting in the field of a monastery. My mother is a Buddhist, and on the odd occasion, I'll go with her and have a look, just as she'll listen to my piece about faith at home. And I usually go do the dishes and sit and admire God's works out in the field while she goes in and does her thing, the meditation, like Zen thing. And basically, the best part about this is that I sat there and I thought, what am I going to write? But then it just came to me. I was sitting at a temple and God doesn't care where you are because he meets you where you are. I was so stuck with what to write at the time, but it's the most unexpected places that can bring the most understanding. And I was kind of going to, I had one more note here, but I'd rather just pray if that's okay. So I welcome you to close your eyes and bow your head because I just want to pray over this congregation because I feel like there's a lot of seeds that can be sown tonight. So God, I just pray and thank you for the gift of communication. I pray that we can love because you loved us first. And that because of what you've given us, we don't have to bring our own advice. We can bring your heavenly advice to those who ask us for it. And for those in the congregation right now who are faced with troubles and trying to help other people, don't put our words into our own mouths, put yours. God, let us sow into each other's lives and move like the Holy Spirit is moving in us. Because when people open their hearts, they'll be able to see your love and your grace for what it is. You find us. We don't find you. So let us be a vessel to move in our churches, in our schools, in our communities, with our friends, with our families, whatever it may be. God, give us the strength, give us the boldness, give us a lack of fear. Because you can raise the weak. You can help the frail. You can rejuvenate the wicked. You can do so much through us. And when we open ourselves, we can have this chain reaction start. So God, I thank you for the fact we can speak to one another. But I also thank you that you can speak through us. Amen. Thank you, church.
Thanks, Ishra. Thanks, Hope. Great job, guys. They're amazing. I'm going to keep my Bible there because I love my Bible. I've got all the verses written down, but I love my Bible. So, our youth, it's an amazing team, and it's really one of the biggest passions, if not the biggest passion of my life. And I've been leading in youth for 3-4 years now, and I was a part of Frontline ever since I was 12. Matt Burt and I started coming in year 6 before everyone else, so we were really keen. And so the last few years, the last one year, we've started noticing a shift in our youth, and we decided to speak into this, and we notice it more at camps. And coming back from camp, Andy and I and Trent were in the car, and we noticed there was such a sense of family. And so Andy said it felt like anyone could go up to anyone in the room, in our meeting room, and just talk, and it was fine, and everyone would be cool with that. And there's not many other places that that would happen in. It was like we had 120, 130 people in that same room, and it felt like anyone could talk to anyone. And so it was this real sense of family and belonging, and there's not many places where I've felt that before. And so we spoke into that. So the last three live nights that we've done, we've started talking about family, God's family, our biological or home family, and frontline family, which is where we all come together on Friday nights. And one really amazing example of this is my life group. And I've got the privilege of being a year seven life group leader. So myself, Zach, and Aaron. Is Aaron here? Aaron's not here, is he? He's sick, that's all right. We'll pray for him later. I've got the privilege of hosting that life group with Zach and Aaron, and they are amazing guys. And if I've had you in my life group before in previous years, don't take offense to this. It's just that this youth group, I've noticed this in. And everyone seems to belong. That's the biggest reason why I love that life group. We've had lots of moments of support in the group, and one of them you've actually had the opportunity to witness at Joel Molyneux's baptism. And we had a whole bunch of people along the front here supporting Joel through that. And there was probably about, you know, seven or eight of our life group boys there supporting him. And I was thinking, man, this is awesome. What sort of effect would this have on him in this moment, in this monumental moment of his life? You know, he had his family here, and then he had his frontline family here, and then God was ministering to him in that baptism tank. It's like all three were there at the same time. It was an amazing moment. It's as if we were all saying, you know, well done. Well done, Joel, for doing that. But even more so, you know, we're here to celebrate these times, but we're family. We're here to stick with you through the bad times. When the attack comes, we're not going anywhere because we're here to support you. There's this awesome, analogy that my dad spoke into our family a little while ago, and it's called circling the wagons. Have we got that photo? Sorry, I've got the clicker. Yeah, that one. I didn't actually click it. So this is called circling the wagons, and back in Indian American times, when everyone roamed around in wagons and horses and all that stuff and tents. Whenever an attack came, and you can see around these wagons, there's people attacking. What these families would do, what these villagers would do, is they would circle their wagons around the women and children, around the vulnerable people of that group. And then the men would be at the wagons fighting, trying to support the weak. And so that's exactly what family structure is like, and that's why my dad spoke that into our family, because when someone's struggling, when someone's going through stuff, we all gather around and we support each other, and I think that's just such an amazing analogy. One big part of our goal, we have a lot of goals as a youth ministry, but one big part of it is to provide a safe place for these awesome youth to come and just hang out, but also to worship God and to do life with each other. And we've got a pretty amazing youth leadership team that helps us create that. But to be honest, I reckon it's our youth that help create that more than anything, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move through them to create that atmosphere. So really big honor to all of you youth here tonight. I've personally seen lives being changed in that environment, and I have the privilege of witnessing that and being a part of it. And I mean, my childhood, many would say it's kind of sheltered, but I've had my fair share of dark times and valleys that I've had to walk through. And those people who have supported me through that can testify to that. But I think of people like Bill and Joyce Simpson and Wilfred and Dulcie Gordon and Dave and Beryl Lodd, who were praying for me even before I was born that I would have a good life. I think of people like Andy Hunt and Rod Heinrich and Matt Daly, who helped me through. They're a bit older than me, so they walked me through, they guided me and counseled me through times where I was struggling. And then I think of people like Matt Burton, Trent Adams, who are still walking with me now and who have walked with me ever since I was like 4 years old with Matt, and then a bit older with Trent. These are people that I believe God has given me to help me through these things. You know, he never intended us to walk this life out of our own strength and on our own. And Jesus spoke into this. So one time in Matthew 10, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am sending you out like lambs into a pack of wolves," which is a pretty terrifying statement to his disciples. And then he said earlier, five verses earlier than that, he said, "And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart." You see, God calls us into hard places, but he gives us what and who we need to get through. Even Jesus himself needed the support of his disciples, of his 12 friends. Just look at the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, and he needed that support from his friends. So he's given us everything and everyone we need, but God takes it a step further and promises to never leave us, himself never leave us or forsake us. He offers us the chance to be part of his family. I've got a little video I want to show, and I'll just show it. I won't talk about it now, but it's a pretty amazing video. Just have a think about the connections that you can bring to our relationship with God through it.
That whale was intent on keeping me away and hiding me, and I didn't know why. He came right for me. He didn't stop. He kept pushing me, and I was like, whoa, you know? Putting his eye next to my eye, I was like, what is going on here? He didn't want to hurt me. He had me on his head, and he rolled over, and I was on his chin, and then I was down his pectoral fin, and he wouldn't leave me alone. He wouldn't stop. I was really scared. I mean, who wouldn't be scared? Rolling around and rolling down the backs of a whale. I kept thinking, get me out of here. Then he lifts me up on his pec fin, literally out of the water, and I'm yelling to everybody on my boat, somebody come help me. I was there for 10 and a half minutes, and then I saw the shark. There's a big, big tiger shark over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was protecting me. The whale got me to the boat. He's making sure that I'm okay.
Man.
Yeah,
the whale.
Literally bad.
I got to the back of the boat and I was laughing. I was just laughing. But it was sort of a nervous laugh, like I lived through this. Why did this happen to me? This is crazy, and I've been doing this for 28 years. A lot of close encounters and great encounters. I've had them, you know, come up and go have the pectoral fin come up over my head. There are a lot of accounts of humpbacks hiding seals underneath of their pectoral fins from killer whales. Just never heard of them doing it for humans. These animals have this altruistic behavior. They will risk their lives to save another species. Like a fireman would run into a house on fire. I can't say for sure what was going on in his head, but he protected me from potential danger. This was once in a lifetime experience. I love you too, I do. I love you.
Isn't that amazing? I think every single time I preach, I either show a video of animals or a video of Narnia or something like that that I absolutely love. I saw that on Facebook and I was like, man, that is amazing. But to see the impact that that whale had on the diver and then to link that back to the impact that God has on us, that is so mind-blowing. Absolutely love it. The first verse I thought of when I saw that was Isaiah 55. Verses 8 to 9. Can you just skip ahead to that one for me? In the English Standard. That's it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, the whale knew more than the diver. The diver didn't know the shark was there. The diver was quite scared of the whale and was thinking, man, should I try and get away from this? She was trying to escape that. But the whale persisted because it knew something the diver didn't. And for some reason, it seemed to care for the diver. The whale had no reason for doing that other than the goodness of the whale's heart, if we can even say that about an animal. Have you ever wondered why God cares for us? I mean, why did the whale care for the diver? Have you ever thought why God cares for us? Why did God keep on persisting to redeem his people? I've been reading a lot about the story of the Israelites lately, doing Bible study on some of the Old Testament books, and man, it's a long story. There is so much that the Israelites did that would just break God's heart, and yet he seemed to still keep on going with them. Why didn't he just give up on Israel? They gave him pretty clear signs that they didn't want him and that they would be unfaithful. Why on earth would he keep on going with them? And yet, we do the same as those Israelites. Why did God send his only son to die for us and to make adoption into his family possible? I mean, it's not because we are his children, because we are his children because of love. It's not he loves us because we are his children. Why does God love us? I don't know. But God did send his only son, and he did this because he loves us. Not modernized love or the love we see on TV or the love we all share for chicken McNuggets, which I know we all do. But real, authentic, unconditional. Nothing can stop this. Nothing can break this. No one can separate us. Agape kind of love. Why does he love us? I really don't know. And it's the question that I've been struggling with for my entire life. Why do you love me, God? But he gives it to us as a gift. And he won't stop loving us. In John 3:16, probably the most quoted scripture of all time, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That word "so" is probably my favorite word in the Bible because it's not just a love. It's more than a father's love for his son. He so loves us. It's not a little love. He is totally and exclusively obsessed with you. He will never stop chasing after you, as we sang tonight. Amazing that that lined up. When you run, he pursues. When you hide, he looks. When you say no, he says, oh, okay. And then he tries again. That's who our Father is. And we sometimes forget this under the lies and misdirection that the enemy throws at us. Have you ever looked at where you are or what you're doing or the people you're with and thought, God, how is this your plan? How am I supposed to believe that you're present in this situation? Or have you ever looked at the things that you haven't achieved, the places you haven't been, the dreams that you once had that you've now given up on and thought, God, why have you forgotten me? Why have you abandoned me? These are the real questions. And so Jesus says to his disciples, and as we've learned at youth, he says to us, because we are Jesus' disciples, he says this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you and placed you and purposely planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that the fruit will remain and be lasting." The diver couldn't see the shark, but it was there. The whale knew, and all she had to do was to trust the whale to do what was best for her. Similarly, we can't see everything, but we've been given someone even bigger, even greater, even more knowledgeable than that whale that we can trust in. We have the one God, the one creator, the great I Am, who for some reason loves me and loves you and has chosen us to be in his family as co-heirs with Christ himself. If that doesn't give you chills, I don't know what will. There was a song I was listening to just today, and it's a song by Planet Shakers, and I've listened to it so many times, but I've never noticed the very first verse, and it really ties together all those three families. It says this: what a glorious picture, all of heaven united, singing love with one focus, lifting up Jesus higher, singing holy is the Lord. It's an amazing picture, and it's one that I love seeing every time we worship, every time our youth come together and worship, or we worship here. And it's our family, it's our relationship with God that unites us all together, that we can have family here, that builds the family of God. It's an amazing picture. And in that, you can have confidence that you are not alone, you are not forgotten, that you actually belong. That's family. And that's God's family, the one that he's invited us into. So amazing. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for you, for your Son, for your Spirit, for everything that you've given us to allow us to live this life for you. I thank you for family, for friends, and for the relationship that you want to have with us in all of that. God, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight who don't feel like they belong, who feel alone, that they would know that you are their Father and that you've called them to belong in your family. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Great stuff. Thanks, Luke. Let's hear it for Ishra, Hope, and Luke all together. Great stuff. What a blessing it's been this evening. Thank you all for making it out. And thank you, more importantly, to the full church for your continued prayer and support for the youth group. You are as much a part of everything that happens at the youth group as us leaders and the youth itself. So thank you all for your continued support and your prayers.